Hello, fight fans, and welcome to Corner Advice. I'm your host, Tom Zaffino. This week, I'm breaking down UFC on ABC5, Emmett versus Topuria. Like all ABC cards, this one will be an early start, 11:30 a.m. on the East Coast. So you're going to want to make sure you get your lineups at least reserved, probably Friday night, and then check everything Saturday morning. Hopefully, there's not a lot of changes. There were some weird weight cuts, so couple misses I'll talk about. Hopefully everything goes off. It looks like everything's set to stay in place, so we should get a full 14 fight card. But when people struggle with weigh-ins, you never know. Doctors can say they're not fit to fight, you know, a few hours later. So it's always good to check. But for now, looks like we've got 14 fights on the docket, and we're going to go with that. Our first fight is in the middleweight division. We have Cody Brundage taking on Cedric Dumas. I'm not a big fan of either one of these guys. I do like Cody Brundage to win this one. He does start fast. He has a very strong grappling base, which is the weakness of Dumas from everything I've seen. So I expect Brundage to get in, get the takedowns early, land some heavy damage, potentially find a submission or a TKO. I do like Brundage inside the distance. I do like Brundage potentially in the first round. So if you're, you know, looking to bet some props, those are a couple that I do like. But I like Brundage to win. He does tend to fade, but Dumas to me just doesn't look great. And I don't think his cardio's very good either. And his grappling is definitely levels below Brundage. So Brundage should get him down. So do some damage, get himself in position to finish this fight, and that's the way I see it going. Our next fight is in the flyweight division. We have Tatsuro Taira taking on Cleiton Rodriguez. Rodriguez is one of the fighters that missed weight. It looks like he will be fined, and the fight will go on as scheduled. Rodriguez is very good, well-rounded, does have some holes, and where his biggest holes are would be on the ground, which is where Taira excels. I think positional battle will go to Taira. I think he has a very good potential of finishing this fight by submission. Very close. The striking-wise, it's pretty close. Grappling-wise, Rodriguez is a good grappler, but he does tend to give up position, and Taira just seems to be very slick on the ground, and I think he will take advantage of the slight mistakes that Rodriguez makes, get himself in position, find a submission, or finish the fight TKO. I just think he'll be ahead of the game in the grappling department. And with the weight miss, cardio-wise, I think the longer this fight goes, the better it is for Taira. He's a pretty sizable favorite in this one, and I'm sure that number will probably grow a little bit. But I do like Taira. I think he wins. I think he could go inside the distance. And I feel like he's just a level above on the ground. And that's going to make the biggest difference in this fight. Our next fight is in the featherweight division. We have Jack Jenkins taking on Jamal Emmers. Jenkins will be my first dog on the card. Emmers had what looks to be a tough weight cut. He missed weight originally. He took the extra hour to get 246 pounds, which he was able to do. But, he was the last one on the scale. Obviously, the last one to weigh in after the hour. So, that extra time matters. And Jenkins is a high-paced guy. Throws heavy, heavy leg kicks. Throws good power on the feet. His grappling solid. Good scrambles. Offensive wrestling is solid. Top game's good. So I think this fight was going to be close to begin with. Emmers is a guy who, you know, minus 200 is a huge number for a guy like Emmers. Never really shown to be worthy of a price tag like that. Jenkins going to make the fight ugly. Going to push the pace. And I think it's going to be a close fight. I think if Emmers' cardio fails him at all, he's going to be in a lot of trouble. I also think Jenkins could kick his legs off, and that could play a huge factor in the fight. This is the second fight back for Emmers after an ACL surgery, So taking a lot of leg damage, probably not going to be fun. Close fight, fun fight. I just think Jenkins' pace and potential cardio is going to be what gets the job done here. Our next fight is in the lightweight division. We have Jose Mariscal taking on Trevor Peak. I like Peak a lot. He throws bombs. He looks to finish fights. He puts a lot of energy out trying to finish fights. But it seems like even if he gets tired, he has the ability to fight through fatigue. And he's just dangerous throughout the course of the fight. Mariscal, interesting, kind of similar, has the ability to finish by knockout. He's fought a lot of tough guys, a lot of UFC vets. He is making his debut here. He has, when he fought those guys, when he fought those UFC caliber guys or UFC veterans, not always, it hasn't always gone well for him. He's gotten kind of blown out of the water by a lot of them. So strength of schedule's there, but success in the strength of schedule, not so much. Close fight on the odds. Peak was a pretty sizable favorite. He kind of got bet down. Now it looks like he's getting bet back up a little bit. Before I started recording, he was minus 120. So there is some money on Mariscal. I can understand why people would be picking him. I just think Trevor Peak's nonstop, relentless, looking for the kill is going to just, at some point, it's going to pay off. And he's gonna find the button in this one. I think he wins inside the distance. But I think just betting him straight up, I have no problem with that either. I think he wins. I think he pushes the pace. And obviously could find the knockout here. Our next fight is in the flyweight division. We have Zalgiris Dzhumagulov taking on Joshua Van. This fight was scheduled last week, but Van... Well, actually, it wasn't a fight. Dzhumagulov was scheduled to fight last week. His opponent wasn't able to get to the scales, so that fight was canceled. So Josh Van stepped up on Friday, said he'd fight, and then they moved the fight to this week. So Van's taking the fight on about a week's notice. He was training... Well, I don't know how much he was training. He had the Contender Series coming up, so you would expect he was in somewhat of a fight camp, so I would expect him to come in somewhat in shape, but making his debut, relatively short notice, against Dzhumagulov, who I think is a good fighter. He has just been robbed in the scorecards 3 to 4 times. I've been on both ends of it. I've picked against him, and I've picked him and gotten screwed over. But I think this is a matchup where he does have the advantages. He does have the experience. Should get the job done. He's definitely had a full fight camp. He's had multiple opponents pull out. And so he's been looking to fight for quite some time now. I think finally Saturday he gets the fight. And hopefully we don't see him get screwed over on the scorecards. But I do think he's a little bit ahead of Van everywhere. His striking's good. His grappling's good. And like I said, he does have the experience. So I think Dzhumagulov gets the job done. And I think he handles business pretty good in this one. Our next fight is in the strawweight division. We have Jillian Robertson taking on Tabitha Ricci. Roberts will be... Did I say Roberts? Robertson. I don't know why I keep saying Roberts. Robertson is the dog here, and she will be my second dog on the card. Her grappling is top level. If she gets the fight to the ground, she's extremely dangerous. I don't care who she's fighting. We just saw her in a grappling match with Rose Namajunas like 6 months ago. Just absolutely dominated her, finished her quickly. Ricci is very good. Her striking's good. Her grappling is very good. That's kind of where she likes to take fights as well. I just think you're playing with fire against Jillian. And as an underdog, I think Robertson is a great play here. So to me, I just think it's very good dog money. Definitely worth a play. Submission is live, as it always is. And I just... I don't know. I think both women like to grapple. To me, Robertson's one of the best in the division, maybe the best. And she's shown with multiple submissions over and over again that she's dangerous. And I think she's dangerous in this fight. I think she'll have a bit of a size advantage, and she should get the job done. Our next fight is in the featherweight division. We have Mateusz Rybecki taking on Loic Radjabov. I was leaning slightly towards Radjabov. He's a decent-sized dog here, but I really thought the matchup was going to be close. Both guys like to grapple. Both guys throw bombs. I figure if this goes to the scorecards, Radjabov could get the decision just based on the fact that he's continuously shooting for takedowns that could score in the judges' eyes. And I thought it's going to be a close fight, and I still think it's going to be a close fight. But Radjabov missed weight. I didn't like the way he looked when he stepped onto the scale. That kind of gave me pause. And then when they read off that he missed weight by, I think he missed by 3 full pounds. I have to go with Rybecki here. Rybecki is very good. He throws bombs. Radjabov does take damage. He takes damage well. But if he's compromised, if he, you know, I don't know what forced him to miss weight, if he's not in great shape, if he's dealing with an injury, as the fight goes long, I feel like his cardio could fall off substantially. They both like to grapple. Very hard to keep that grappling pace. And if you're not 100%, you could fall off pretty quickly. Rybecki is very good. He's dangerous everywhere. And I just can't go against him if Radjabov is compromised in any way. So I like Rybecki here. I do think he could find a finish, especially if it goes late. Just because cardio-wise, if Radjabov falls off, Rybecki can just kind of push a pace on him. Still relatively close fight matching up, but I like Rybecki here, and I think he gets the job done. Our next fight is in the welterweight division. We have Wellington Turman taking on Randy Brown. Turman dropping down to welterweight, which is kind of makes this interesting, but dropping down to welterweight against a guy who's one of the biggest guys in the weight class, so I don't know, there's no size advantage there for him. And historically speaking, if you look at guys dropping weight class, even if that guy has success in the weight class, usually the first fight does not go well for them. Turman has strong grappling, which I think he will try to implement, but Randy Brown is pretty well-rounded. He's dangerous. He's long. He scrambles well. He has a strong jab. Keep the distance on the feet. Just force Turman to work. I think Turman's real only chance is if he gets a hold of Randy Brown, gets him down early, potentially he could find a submission. But to me, dropping down a weight, we don't know how his cardio is going to hold up. He is kind of chinny. Randy Brown's not a big power guy, but he does, you know, he has good striking. He can land a big shot. And if a guy doesn't have the best chin up a weight class, can't imagine it's going to be any better 15 pounds lighter. So I like Randy Brown here. I could see him finishing Turman with, you know, by knockout. But either way, I think Randy Brown, solid play here. Just kind of keeps the distance, avoids really any danger on the ground, and he should be fine. Our next fight is again in the welterweight division. We have Phil Rowe taking on Neil Magny. I like Magny here. His jab's good. He's, when he is offensively wrestling, he's very good. He can be wrestled. And we've seen that some of the top wrestlers in the division, some of the top jiu-jitsu guys have kind of gotten up on him. And that's kind of how he's lost some of his recent fights. But while Phil Rowe is a good grappler, I don't think he really has the wrestling of the higher level guys that have been doing that to Magny. I think the fight on the feet, he's a bit cleaner. His jab is solid. He's fought the best of the best. He has the experience. When he's going forward, when he's the one initiating the grappling, he is tough to deal with. And I just think overall, He's just a little bit ahead of Phil Rowe. Phil Rowe seems to be a guy who could make the next step, could become somebody in the welterweight division. I'm not sure he's there yet. I think a veteran like Neil Magny is a great test, but I still think Magny is just a step above. And the way Phil Rowe starts fights kind of slow, I think that's going to play into Neil Magny's advantage. If Neil Magny gets up on you, it's a problem because his confidence just keeps rising, and that's when we see the best Neil Magny, and I think that's what we're going to get in this fight. So I like Magny. Definitely think decision is in play. Phil Rowe's pretty durable. He's gone to decision quite a bit himself. So Magny by decision, not a bad play. I do like Magny to win this fight, just however he has to get it done, but I feel like he will get it done. Our next fight is in the middleweight division. We have Brendan Allen taking on Bruno Silva. The dog money is tempting on Silva because he does have the power. We've seen Brendan Allen get himself in trouble on the feet a couple times in his career, but there is a strong advantage in the grappling, and generally speaking, you have to go with the grappler. Bruno Silva has been submitted 6 times in his career. Brendan Allen, strong grappling. And really, I mean, I don't see how he comes into this fight thinking of doing anything besides grappling. Bruno Silva is an absolute monster on the feet. There's big time risk there. There's no reason for Allen to stand and trade with him more than he has to. He should be shooting for takedowns from the very beginning of the fight. He knows where the advantage lies. I don't see him. I would hope he doesn't go away from that game plan. But if he does, you know, Bruno Silva's live. But I think Brendan Allen gets the job done. I think he wrestles early and often. And I could see him finding a submission, especially as this fight goes long. So I like Allen. Hopefully he sticks to the game plan that he should stick to. And hopefully finds a finish. But I think he gets the job done regardless. Our next fight's in the featherweight division. We have Gabriel Santos taking on David Onama. This, I think, has fight of the night potential. I was very impressed with Gabriel Santos in his debut against a very tough Lerone Murphy. He didn't come away with the win in that one. It was a split decision loss for him, but you could easily argue that he won that fight. And that's saying a lot against a guy like Murphy, who is still undefeated, has that experience in the UFC, very good fighter. And Santos showed that he belongs for sure, and he is talented. He took that fight on relatively short notice. Actually, it was very short notice. I think it was 3 days. So even more impressive there. And he's just well-rounded. His jiu-jitsu is dangerous. His striking's good. He'll eat some shots, but he seems to take them well. His kicks are heavy. He stays forward. I like the way he uses combinations to get in on takedowns. Just an overall very good fighter. I mean, I've only seen him fight in the UFC once. I could be playing him up a little bit. Maybe he's not as good as I think he is. But from what I see, the guy has all the tools. And against a guy like Onama, I think he can implement all of his tools and get the job done. Onama is a tough guy. His striking's good. His grappling's solid. Overall, pretty good fighter. I do think Onama is a good fighter. Can slow down a little bit. He can, you know, his fight IQ can be questionable. We saw that in his last fight. And I don't know. I feel really good about Santos. I think he's really good. I think he's an up-and-comer. I think he gets the job done. And, that's it. Our next fight is in the heavyweight division. We have Austin Lane taking on Justin Taffa. Austin Lane making his debut. Former NFL player. He's powerful. Most of his finishes are in the first round. But he has been compromised. He hasn't been compromised. He has been knocked out a few times. Saw him get knocked out in the Contender Series by Greg Hardy pretty quickly. And that obviously that has not aged very well. Since then, he's gone like 7-2 or something to that measure. I had it written down, but I don't know where the hell I put it. But either way, he's looked solid. But I don't know. I'm not really sold on him. He has good size. He is powerful, big, strong guy. But, you know, you would think he'd be a little bit more athletic. I don't know. To me, I'm just not overly impressed. Not that Justin Taffa is anything to write home about, but he does have big power. He is durable. He's looked pretty good in his last few fights. And I don't know. I just feel at some point he's going to catch Lane. And if he doesn't get him out of there early, I think cardio-wise is in favor of Taffa. We've seen him go to decision in the UFC. We know he can fight 3 rounds. So I have to give him a little bit of an edge there. He's got about a 20-pound weight advantage. Well, actually, it's probably more than that. He weighed in at 266. Lane weighed in at 245, I believe. So you got to imagine Taffa's probably walking into that fight 275, 280. So he's going to have a 25, 30-pound weight advantage. And as the fight goes long, if it goes long, I think Taffa just wears on him, eventually finds the button, gets him out of there. I like Taffa inside the distance. I don't know if I'd bet the line. He's like minus 175. Probably just bet him inside the distance. Maybe bet him round one. And, I mean, you could come back the other way and sprinkle a little bit on Lane round one as well. You know, probably get a good price there. But I think Taffa wins this one. I just think, just not fully sold on Lane to this point. And Taffa has the experience. He can go 3 rounds. We know that. And he definitely has the power. We've seen that. So Taffa, TKO, KO for me. And potentially, you know, could throw a little bit on the round one prop as well. Our next fight is in the flyweight division. We have Amanda Ribas taking on Macy Barber. Ribas has the grappling to win this fight. She is much stronger at this weight class. Macy Barber just doesn't really do a whole lot. She's another one of those fighters that seems to, for some reason, get the judges on her side, even though she doesn't really do much in these fights. She's won some controversial decisions, and it's always scary picking against her, especially in a fight where the judges could be involved again. But I really think Ribas just pushes the pace early. She's going to land multiple takedowns. Barber is a good grappler, and that kind of was her base at one point. But I don't know. I'm not impressed with her. I just don't think she's very good. And I think Ribas at this weight, knowing that grappling is her path to victory no matter who she's fighting, I think she pushes the pace wrestling style, controls the fight, and she does land a pretty good amount of ground and pound. She is active. So I think Ribas wins this one. Probably does go to a decision, but I think it's a pretty dominant fight overall for Ribas. That brings us to our main event. We have Ilia Topuria taking on Josh Emmett. This is the biggest step forward for Topuria to date. So far, so good. He's looked very good in all of his fights, mostly finishing everybody he gets in there with. He can mix in wrestling. His striking's good. He's fast. Josh Emmett, very dangerous, big-time power, high-level experience. We just saw him fight for the interim belt. He kind of got, I don't know if I'd say blown out, because he did have some moments in that fight, but he did kind of get pieced up pretty good as that fight went longer, and then he ended up getting finished. So we'll see how he can bounce back. I like Topuria to get this one done. I just think he's got a slight bit of size on Emmett, although Emmett is a pretty thick dude, so it may not be really visible in the cage. He's only like an inch taller. But Topuria just so far has looked really good. His striking is fast and powerful, and he's durable. We saw him get hurt bad a couple fights ago. got rocked and was able to recover quickly, instantly shoot in for a takedown, keep himself safe, and then a round later he was finishing the fight with a brutal knockout himself. So we know he can take a shot. I believe his cardio is good. I have never really seen him fatigue. Well, we've only seen him go three rounds in the UFC once, and that was his debut. So tough to get a real gauge off of that. But every round that he's fought to this point, getting into the second round, cardio has not looked like an issue. It is a five-round fight, so maybe we see him pace himself a little bit more. Josh Emmett's not the highest volume guy, so the first couple rounds could be a little bit of a slow feeling out process, nobody trying to get knocked out. But everything I've seen from Topuria, the guy looks like the real deal. Josh Emmett, definitely no easy out, but I do think Topuria can get the job done. Over time, I think he'll land the more volume. And I just think mixing in the grappling, although Emmett is a good wrestler, we just don't see him wrestle all that much. I thought that would be the path in his last fight. He really didn't go there. And to me, Topuria just knows how to mix in the grappling at the right time. High fight IQ. We've seen Emmett take a ton of damage. Really, over the course of his career, he's taken some significant damage. So that always has to weigh into these fights as these fighters get a little bit older. And yeah, I just think Topuria gets the job done. Minus 300 is a huge number. I think I'd probably throw something on the inside the distance prop. I'm not sure what that is right now, but I do think he could find a finish in this one. Tough to bet, really, because I'm not overly confident in a finish. It's tough to throw, minus 300 on a straight wager. So we'll see how the fight plays out. Maybe a live betting opportunity here. We'll see. Maybe even Topuria gets off to a slow start, brings the odds down a little bit, throw some on him there. But overall, I think he gets the job done. I think over the course of the five rounds, his pace will be higher. He'll mix in the grappling, and he will find a way to get the job done. So that's it. 14 fights broken down. I will be putting some Prize Picks plays out on my social medias. You can follow me at TommyZ_MMA. That's everywhere. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Mostly I throw my stuff on Twitter and Instagram. A little bit on TikTok. I'm trying to use that a little bit more, but I haven't been using it as much. But anywhere you look, it's at TommyZ_MMA. If there's any changes, I will be posting. And I guess until next week, or I guess until we talk again, or I don't even know. Either way, good luck on Saturday.